reach out such faith. Meantime, it is, what day is it? Today is Tuesday.
What day is this?
Tuesday, May 22nd, 2018. Happy World Goth Day, Chris.
World Goth Day?
It's World Goth Day. I don't know. It's a thing I found on the internet. And you know what else you can find on the internet? The real thing, which is on morelikeradio.com, exclusively on morelikeradio.com. My name is Mark Nixon. I am always joined by my good friend, co-host, and fellow goth. Chris Wetton.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
As most goths would say,
yeah,
an opening.
That's
any
what
sort
the
of,
goth kids are saying.
Yeah, you know, any opening, any introduction, and so
whatever, man.
Yeah, it's fine. Whatever, cool. Shut up.
I guess if you want to live in that kind of a world.
Oh my God. So yeah, that's the reason why we opened up with "Personal Jesus" by Depeche Mode. So, it's been a hot minute since we were last here, and we're actually going to try to get done within an hour because you got to wake up early.
I got early.
I've got 3.5 Miller High Lifes in front of me.
Powered out.
That you're going to drink so that we can power through these,
mm-hmm,
as in the same way that you're going to power through these drinks. But as always,
hey, yum 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 yum.
As always, you can follow us on Facebook. This is the real thing. You can follow us on Twitter, @therealthing _ for all of our past shows on morelikeradio.com. You can obviously follow us on iTunes. Normally, I would be setting up the movie that we would be talking about primarily. I mean, there are two movies that we're primarily going to be talking about tonight, Avengers Infinity War and Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
The big movies that we've seen since the last show.
Yeah. Spoilers, obviously.
Spoilers, yeah.
But the reason why I don't want to start with that is because, Chris, do you know how hard it is to not find out about significant spoilers?
Mm.
When you are on the internet, even if you're not trying to actively go to websites like The Hollywood Reporter or Variety, you're just scrolling on your Facebook feed, you're scrolling on Twitter, and someone posts a meme or someone posts this or that, and fortunately, what I would suggest that you do, as I know that you do routinely, is that whenever you want to avoid potential summer spoilers, take yourself a 2.5-week European vacation, which is exactly what I did, because I went to London, to Ireland, to Scotland. However, Northern Ireland, I want to talk about my experience involving motherfucking Game of Thrones, because we did that shit and...
You're on, like, the ultimate Game of Thrones tour.
Yeah. It was unintentionally badass. Because, okay, so, you know, we're talking about, what are we going to do on this trip that we didn't do the last trip? Because we were there literally 6 months prior in October. We were in London, we were in Glasgow, we were in Inverness. We had never visited Ireland before. In fact, Jason Cicciola, who's been all over the damn place, he may as well have a passport scan on his arm. He's never been to either Scotland or Ireland. So he was like abundantly jealous about me going to these places. And so, hey, what's in Ireland that we can go see? And we're just looking up stuff, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Oh my gosh, they filmed Game of Thrones there. Holy shit, there's an app on the App Store that is sponsored by the Northern Ireland tourism faction, where you can follow the different locations on Game of Thrones. We should totally do that. Oh, there's a place in Belfast at Castle Ward.
So they know that they've got lightning in a bottle. And,
yes.
And they are sort of folding it into their tourism industry.
Absolutely. And so...
That's cool.
Yeah, so we go over to Ireland the last week of our vacation after we traveled from Inverness. And we're at this place called the Carrick Arede, R-E-D-E. And it's way on the northern coast of Ireland. And I could show you pictures right now, but it'll slow down the show. But suffice it to say, it looks like a goddamn painting, postcard. Your brain can't make the thoughts proper where I'm actually standing somewhere that I'm not supposed to be standing, and yet here we are, and there's a fucking cliff, and it's picturesque and everything, and oh my gosh, there's mountains over here, and there's a rope bridge that you can cross that we actually tried getting to maddeningly fast. We left from our Airbnb in Belfast to that location in about an hour and change. And we got there right as they were supposed to sell the last ticket at 5:15. But they said, well, we actually sold our last ticket at 2 because they have a person limit for this rope bridge, because this rope bridge is supposedly very, very old, and there's only so much weight that can go across per day.
Hang on, lady, we go for a ride.
Yes. Kind of stuff. Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. Is he nuts? You know, nuts. He crazy. Yes. So we actually were able to walk around the rope bridge and, you know, see the sights and, oh, my gosh, this is crazy, and et cetera, et cetera. Then we're walking down the car park in this, like, massive stone bowl, like a stone arena, and there's a placard, there's a sign there down below, right where the entrance is to the car park, and there it has pictures and inscriptions, and this is where Brienne of Tarth was introduced to Renly Baratheon during the episode blah 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 in Game of Thrones season 2 episode this blah blah blah. So like, holy fucking shit, I can't believe that we're here. We keep walking around, take more videos, more pictures. I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm here. So then we go over to the Rope Bridge Pub, Rope Bridge Cafe, and we're walking in, and the pub keep, nice old lady, with the most butch haircut I've ever seen in my entire life. Like almost like kind of like block. You know the Liquid Television segments where it looked like it was like a cartoonish,
oh,
like,
yeah,
those, okay, right? Almost kind of like Beavis and Butthead-ish. And they were playing old school country music like Merrill Haggard, George Jones, Johnny Cash, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, where are you guys from? Oh, we're from Florida. Oh my gosh, we just went to the bridge tour and we're going to try to go to Giant's Causeway, which is unearthly in and of itself. We're going to the Game of Thrones tour tomorrow. Oh, they were just here last week, filming for 2 weeks. Oh, really? Did they stay here? No, they didn't stay here because, and I'm making a gesture where she's flipping her nose up in the air like their shit don't stink. They're
a little too good to stay there.
Westerosian shit don't stink.
This is not Jon Snow material.
Apparently not. I got to turn the boot so it doesn't like flush. But I should have learned this from Beer Fest on the real
drinking
thing.
Drinking from a ceramic boot.
I am drinking from a ceramic boot. Yes. Yeah. So, but she also said, the barkeep also said, hang a right, hang another right, go down the winding road, go to the coast. It'll be worth it. So we go down there. We rented a car. We'd rent a car for the better portion of the trip. We get down there, and again, places to park. There's showers. It looks like, you know, a typical beach setting where you can wash off your feet and everything else. Again, another placard. And, lo and behold, whose face do we see? We see Alfie Allen, a.k.a. Theon Greyjoy's Fage, because we are at the Iron Islands. And it looks like the motherfucking Iron Islands, where we're standing on green that turns into stone, and the waves are crashing, and, like, all these kids, I'm sure they've never even seen Game of Thrones. They don't know what the hell.
They don't give a shit.
And we're running around like fucking crazies. It's me, it's Tina, it's Mandy, a.k.a. Appletini, and we're fucking running around like, oh my fucking God! All along the coast. And that was just the day before. That was happenstance. The following day, we actually go to Castle Ward bright and early, like 9 o'clock in the morning, which would be 4 o'clock in the morning our time, so our Castle Ward is Winterfell.
It's Winterfell.
It is Winterfell.
So it's like one of the main set pieces, certainly for the first season. Like,
yes, in fact, they showed in an instructional video that they had showed before we took our archery competition lessons, et cetera, that this is the original building. This is how it's digitally recreated in order for it to be seen on the show. So when you're seeing one building, you're actually seeing three buildings, and this is how the CGI things. It's like, it's absolutely magical now.
They film it there, but they add on all sorts of other shit to make it look bigger. And
yeah, to which, you know, it's like, remember back, like way back in like early 90s, and you know, like CGI is the way to go, and they used it in Jurassic Park, and oh my gosh, they're going to start using CGI for everything. And there's some CGI that, you know, quite frankly, still lives up to the hype even today, and there's some CGI that looks like shit.
But the best CGI is the CGI you don't even notice. Mm. It's when they take...
Right.
It's when they do that with some old castle in Ireland for Game of Thrones, or in Zodiac when they film on the street, but then they make it look like San Francisco from that year, you know?
Right, right.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? That's the best CGI.
So we had like 15 people that were there.
Also Angelina Jolie's tits in Beowulf.
I've never seen that.
It's awful. It's not good.
Well, I guess...
Not good, Bob.
Not good, Bob. So we end up having a conversation with the tour guide, and he's showing us, remember the hound? Remember that hound helmet?
The helm?
This is the only helmet that is in existence right here. You can take pictures of it, and they start dressing us up in the different cloaks and all the gear and all that sort of thing. We do archery contests. Oh my gosh, where the hell is my goddamn phone? We do archery contests to where we had a group of three for each round robin, and everyone got a turn to, you know...
First time shooting a bow and arrow?
Yes.
Yeah. How'd you do?
I hit the target.
Hit the target's good enough.
Hit the target's good, yeah.
it's not easy.
The most important thing is that, like, you have to keep your arm up here and, you know, basically, like, have it, like, right at your chin in order to just, like, you know, as soon as you pull, then you let go, because otherwise...
That's what Jon Snow is teaching Arya in, in the first episode.
I think a couple episodes prior when we've been rewatching it and Arya's being told by the... Brotherhood Without Banners. That's right. It's like this is how you shoot a bow. So I'm like trying to remember all this shit and, you know, like stay under pressure and all that sort of thing. But getting back, so everyone gets to shoot, and then we have a contest where the winner overall gets to cut off the head of the person that loses overall. And Tina got her head cut off. Yeah, because she dropped her bow, she dropped her arrow when she's trying to fumble around, and so she, you know, was not considered a good archer, blah, 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 which was really funny, too, because they had the whole ceremony, like, where she gets her head cut off, any last words, and she screams, "Fuck off!" It's really fucking funny, I'll show it to you later on. And then we're given an opportunity to go on a bike ride, this bike tour, just not with the tour guide, just... on our own.
They give you a general idea of where to go.
Take these bikes, take these cloaks, take these foam swords and this backpack. Take this iPad where it'll show you, and it goes like basically like around, you know, this partition, and it kind of does like a figure eight to where it'll name like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
It's
like
a self-guided bike tour.
Yes. 15.
They give you an iPad to take with you?
Yeah. 15 different locations.
Is it spelled I like A-Y-E pad? It's an iPad.
No. So we're biking around, and the guy's really cool. The guys over there are really cool. Basically saying, look, watch the videos on the iPad. Take your time. You've got 3 hours. Don't come back and ask me stupid questions if you haven't looked at the videos on the iPad. And I've gotten some really stupid questions before where I go, it's on the video.
Right.
Yeah. So he
translation, follow the fucking directions.
Follow the fucking directions, which we did. And we go around, and we missed a couple of them because they're signs, like very, very subtle notations, like on trees, nailed to trees, where you're supposed to stop. And this is where... Bronn and Tyrion were talking about Bronn working for Tyrion, and this is where Camp Lannister was. And this
is
where,
like, dynamic, like it shows you a shot from that scene.
Yes.
Right? So yeah. This is the tree, and then it has a picture of the scene. That's cool. Yeah. I love those kind of tours.
Yeah.
And I love that kind of shit.
And truth be told, it again goes back to, you know, how fucking awesome CGI is, especially in that show, because we go out to this massive field, and that's where Camp Lannister was, and this is where Tywin Lannister was first introduced when he's skinning the stag.
Yeah.
And it's fucking green. It's green on steroids. It's green like that. Like that.
That's what you think about with Ireland, like you hear, but you know, it's just full of the sea of green everywhere you look.
Yeah, but the other thing too is that it's just so. It's all these lush locations that are just like mashed together in one spot to which. I know the complaint that everybody had during the last season was that I can't believe they're not taking enough time to travel from Dragonstone over to where the White Walkers are at. Right. And it's like taking an hour.
Sort of continuity complaints about how long it takes to travel around.
Right. And so again,
Westeros.
Spoilers, because we literally watched The Reigns of Castamere last night and The Red Wedding. Yeah. And it was as brutal as I remember.
Yeah.
And then some. But Walder Frey's castle. Castle Audrey in real life, here.
The twins.
Take 30 paces over here, the tree where Talisa and Robb Stark were married.
Oh, Like, yeah, so everything's like, right there. They're just filming, and they, you know, turn the camera a different direction, and it's a whole new...
Get the right lighting, put a CGI bridge over here, there's the tree where we're trying to reach.
The majesty of cinema.
Seriously, like, one of the coolest things that I was ever part of. In fact...
I'm envious.
I had shown them the picture of me dressed up as Jon Snow from the Moxie LaFemme Geek Show that we just did.
Weeks prior.
Yeah, and they were actually kind of impressed. They were like, wow, that's actually a really good costume, but you don't look like Jon. You know who you look like? You look like Ed. You look like the other guy.
Dolorous Ed?
Yeah, Dolorous Ed, yeah.
You don't look like Dolorous Ed.
Well, now I don't, because this whole thing's all growing out on my face.
You know who you could do, though? With a haircut and a little bit of a trim of the facial hair.
Who's that?
You could do Oberyn Martell.
Ooh.
Very easily you could do Oberyn Martell.
You raped her! You murdered her!
Murdered our children!
You killed our children!
I always drink wine before a fight.
Yeah,
I am envious. I am thoroughly envious of your trip. Not just because of the Game of Thrones thing. I am envious of that part. But traveling in general, doesn't it just immediately make you want to travel more? Especially when you go to a place like that.
Yes.
Like, you come back and... You simultaneously want to go back to that place, and you are thinking about all the other places in the fucking world that you also want to go to.
Well, even when we were traveling around Edinburgh, and our friend Mandy Appletini, she's a huge Outlander fan. And so we're traveling down downtown Edinburgh, and she's like, no, wait, stop right here. We hang a right on the street, go through a tunnel, and it's just a very innocuous alleyway with a staircase and, you know, a bunch of old buildings and shit. She's like, oh, this is where such and such was talking to this female character. Oh my gosh, I'm so fucking in love. I'm like, holy shit, like, really? Let me take a panoramic of this and yeah, cool.
And I ended up
showing it to somebody later on that actually watches the show. I think it was Shelley Everett.
Yeah.
Shelley Day.
Watches Outlander.
Yeah, and she's like, holy shit, that totally is it. Yeah, absolutely. So
Outlander is to Game of Thrones what, you know, I mean, it's like Game of Thrones came out and now there's all these other sort of shows like that, like Outlander, and I realize that was a property that was in books and things like that beforehand, but you know, I mean, Star Trek came out, and then you get Farscape, and you get Deep Space Nine, and all these other offshoots of it, and there's just too many to keep up with, and now Game of Thrones has shows like Outlander and things like, and Vikings and things like that, and it's just like, you can't keep up with all of it.
Yeah, literally,
I can't watch all of it.
Literally using the exact same people, like...
Same kind of stuff, you know.
Edmure Tully, who got married to...
That was a nerdy correction. I just... Edmure! I think there's an R-E at the end of that.
If I may, you are incorrect, sir. He's actually an Outlander. I just found out that out today because I was looking up stuff after the fact. I was like, what the hell has this guy been in? Holy shit.
The thing that happens to me every time I travel, and I realize we're not talking about movies, but fuck it. Every time I travel, you and I are both born and raised in Florida.
Yeah.
Right? You're born in Miami, correct?
I was born in Miami, yeah.
I'm born and raised in Lakeland, the city in which we live. But, you know, I mean, I've traveled a little bit. But Florida is one of the destination spots for people all over the world. They want to come to the United States, and Florida is a place that lots of people... It's a huge tourism state.
I can confirm that because every single person... Oh, how's Orlando? It's always the flip-flop, though. Everyone's like, why the fuck are you here? Like, why do you want to come here? Like, why do you want to go to Orlando?
That's exactly what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like when you go to, like, you know, the Giant's Causeway and things like that, and you see these castles and these mountains and places in Ireland and Scotland and all these places that you just went to.
Yeah.
You're just so enthralled and so fascinated by it. And then people want to know about Florida. And my immediate reaction is like, yeah, we've got Epcot. We got
Supercharged, that just came out.
The Hulk coaster? Yeah, okay. You've got the Giant's Causeway, and you've got all this other stuff, but, you know, we've got the Dr. Seuss carousel.
This is the other thing, too. So, we also met these guys. We met these guys because we met the fucking dogs that are on the show.
You like dogs?
Yeah, I like caravans more. On the real thing, I'm more like radio.com. So... These two guys right here are the brothers, the owners of said dogs, who are named Odin and Thor, but they are also... I can't remember what the fuck their names are.
These are the actual dire wolves that were used on the show.
Correct, but also they're CGI'd, and so they're slightly different.
Well, of course, they're made to look bigger, but, right. But which dogs were they?
They are... I think it was Shaggy Dog and one other one. Fuck, I can't remember.
Game of Thrones trivia right now, on the spot. Nope, don't look it up. Name all the dogs.
I can't do that.
You can't do that?
I can't do that. No.
Come on.
I can't. I don't know. I'm not that versed like you are, because you've read the books too, so.
Sure. Rob had Grey Wind.
Okay.
John has Ghost.
Okay.
Bran has Summer.
Okay.
Rickon has Shaggy Dog.
Okay.
Sansa has Lady.
Okay.
And Arya has Nymeria.
Ah.
That's it.
This is Grey Wind and Summer.
Grey Wind and Summer?
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah. So we ended up meeting these guys and their dad, who had tried to get his sons involved in the show Game of Something. He had absolutely no idea what the fuck it was called, but he's been involved in art and music and pop culture forever and a day. He's met Paul McCartney, he's met The Boss, he's met Bowie, he's met, you know, a bunch of other people. I was like, holy shit, like, I believe you, because
I'm looking at a picture of him, and he would probably laugh at the beards that the guys in ZZ Top have.
Absolutely, yes. So he's talking...
He would be embarrassed by those ZZ Top beards.
He's talking about these dogs. These dogs are about as close legally as you can get to actually being wolves without actually being wolves.
Right.
So he tries to get his sons on the show. He lies about
their... They look like wolves.
Lies about their ages. Tries to get them on the show. HBO basically says, look, you can't lie about your kids' ages, number one. Number two, they're too pretty. Your sons are too pretty, because apparently they were clean-shaven at the time of their auditions and whatnot.
I'm looking at two guys that, you know, could have been some of the wilderness people in Deliverance.
Yes. So, however, you, sir, on the other hand, you look like a slave owner. We should give you a part on the show. So he proceeds to show us, and this is the procession of the Dothraki, and here's me leading my wenches in season one, and this with a shaved head, et cetera, right?
Yes, okay. He's wearing like the Dothraki like leather little like suspender type thing.
Which I would like, again, thanks to us rewatching this damn show, now I have context, now I understand. Oh my gosh, it totally makes sense. And much like how this show works is that they eventually got old enough, they grew their beards out. They've been House Stark, House Lannister, House...
Just constantly recycled as extras on this
flip-flopping
show.
Flip-flopping back and forth. White Walkers, they've been Wildlings, they've been a whole bunch of stuff. Wow. Our main tour guide, the one that was like, please don't ask any stupid questions.
All because they had the dogs, and so they had an inn.
Basically, yeah. In fact, this one, I can't remember what the hell their names are. Our friend Manny, by the way, was like splooshing all over herself like, oh my god, please, I just want to marry you and all that shit. So they apparently heard first episode, right? Theon Greyjoy picks up Summer, I guess, Summer or Grey One, whichever one, and tries to cut the dog's throat.
Right.
Until it's intervened.
Let's give Snow it to Jon. Stops him.
That's right.
Says, my lord, you know.
Yeah, I'll
five
take
Stark children. There yeah. are five dogs.
Right, so...
Come to find out there's six.
Yeah. Ooh, well, spoilers. We told you spoilers of the real thing. Yeah, the real thing. It's been four fucking years.
Eight years ago.
Yeah. So anyway, so he's talking about, you know, the dog getting its cutthroat, blah, 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 and everything else. And so they're at a pre-production, post-production party, blah, blah, blah. And one of the brothers goes up to Alfie Allen, a.k.a. Theon Greyjoy. He's like, hey, Richard, trying to cut my dog's throat. I don't like that. And Alfie Allen's like, no, that wasn't me, that was my character. Let me buy your dog. I'll buy your dog for €1,000. No, that's my dog. I'm not selling my dog. $2,000, blah, 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 blah. He's like, nope, not selling it, totally my dog. And apparently he was making a concerted effort to try to, you know, buy these dogs later on, but they've been with these guys, the original owners, the entire time. And the tour guide, the one that said, please don't ask any fucking stupid questions, he had apparently had said that I am in season 8, and I do die a very significant death. Because I'm with Jon Snow, I'm doing this, I can't give out any spoilers, obviously, otherwise I'll be crucified, but you will see me, so when that does happen, I will point him out, because he is actually the guy that is in...
This is the guy!
This is the guy who is the guy. The guy right there... Front and center.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with the glasses.
All right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was super awesome. We ended up getting winter ale as an extra bonus.
I had some.
Very delicious, right?
It was delicious.
Absolutely delicious. And then we ended up going to a restaurant a couple of minutes away from Castle Ward, where they're like virtual, literal actually, Easter eggs, where they've carved doors all around Northern Ireland's coast, where it shows different locations, and this is the very first door that they did signifying Winterfell in Game of Thrones. And so,
pretty cool, man.
Yeah. So, and then
Is Game of Thrones your favorite TV show of all time at this point? It's not even finished, but is there any show that comes close?
I've never, ever been nerdy the way that I am for this fucking show.
I've never been into a show the way I'm into Game of Thrones. And there's a lot of shows that, you know, if I talk about someone says, Game of Thrones doesn't exist, what's your favorite show of all time? So there's a bunch of stuff that comes to your mind, you know, sure. Whether it's
Breaking Bad, The Shield.
Seinfeld, The Shield, The Wire, you know, like these are some of the best shows of all time.
Yeah.
I don't think, and I was into Breaking Bad and I was into Mad Men when they were on.
Right.
But I wasn't into them the way that I'm into Game of Thrones.
Listen, I've bought cosplay costumes now. I've toured the fucking thing. Like, I'm literally, we're running around like idiots in the middle of the field fighting with our foam fucking swords.
We're LARPing in Ireland.
Yes, we are. We are LARPing in Ireland, absolutely.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I even had to do a Benny Hill video. Yeah, which was really funny. And then finally the other video that we had to do because we were crows, and obviously crows before hoes. Which would be Mandy and Tina and I rapping to Step Brothers Boats and Hoes, so.
I wonder in the these guys see a lot of crazy Americans coming over there, going on the Game of Thrones self-guided tours and things like that.
Yeah.
I wonder where you fall in the echelon of crazy, stupid Americans.
Oh, well, that was the other thing. So, number one, I had, when we went over to the restaurant, the Quan, which is right outside Castle Roy. The Quan! Go gambling on the Quan, sashaying on the Quan. You know that I said that too. I totally said that to myself. I'm like,
zero people got it.
No one got it. I don't give a shit. I'm the real thing.
Ugly in black.
If you're listening to this, the real thing on morelikeradio.com, you're welcome. So we're going to this restaurant, and they're like, "Yeah, we've got Kingsmead, we've got Hodor the beer, we've got Winter Ale. We only have a couple of bottles each. I'll take them. I don't care. I'll take them." Like, I'll buy them. I'll buy them right now. The little bottles, the big bottles, I literally spent like $175 just on booze.
They have wine, too. They have Game of Thrones wine.
More wine. Obviously, more wine, Chris. More wine. So there was that, number one. And then the second thing, speaking of very stupid Americans, is that... So they're showing this video prior to us going, getting introduced, and the archery, and all that sort of thing. It's an intro video. It's narrated by Sean Bean. And I say... Is he going to die in this like he does in every other thing? And the guy, don't make any stupid comments unless you watch the video, is like, well, just spoil it for everybody because there was a couple of people that have never watched the show,
they
never seen
be on the
show.
Fucking tour, then.
I know. But actually, the guy that won the archery contest that ended up beheading Tina Buttercup actually had never seen the show before. But he was just such a good shot. Like, he hit the target and the bullseye a couple times.
Fuck him. Yeah. I wouldn't go on a Everybody Loves Raymond tour because I've never seen a fucking episode of the show.
Right.
Care. But you know what? At this point, you spoil it.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, too, I was like thinking to myself, like, man, I'm bringing back so much booze, and I haven't even gotten to Guinness, I haven't even gotten to Jameson or Teeling or whatever whiskey distillery that we're going to go to. But I also was thinking to myself, when am I fucking coming back here? Like, really?
Nah.
Like, honestly, like, get your fucking nut and act like a fucking moron and own it, fucking own it. Like, where's we're running around and fighting with the fucking foam swords, and it was the stupidest and funniest and best thing that we did on the trip, which is the reason why Game of Thrones is my favorite show. Because I would never, ever do that for any other show. Like, everyone's always like, oh, fucking Star Wars, and I love Marvel, and I love this or that, like, which I can appreciate now because of this. I totally understand. I totally get it.
You understand nerding out when absolutely, you see yes. the shit from the shit you like.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Like, I'm sure that there's a couple of people that are going to go to Star Wars Land when it opens up next year in Orlando.
But you've never had anything like that. You don't have this affinity for Star Wars or Star Trek or the Marvel movies or the DC movies.
No.
Like, you watch and sort of enjoy all these things, but you've never had anything like Game of Thrones that you... nerd out for.
No, this is...
I mean, you're a big Batman fan. That would probably be maybe a close second.
Even when I was in Chicago, when I was there, it was like 3-4 years ago, and I was, you know, like walking downtown Chicago, and I'm like, that's the street where the truck flipped over.
Right.
That's that street. Like, I recognize this, but I mean, even then, I don't buy Batman shit. Like, it's usually given to me.
Or like a Batman beer.
Yeah, like, I'll go and, like, get a comic every now and then, but I'm, like hardcore, like, Batman fan. Like, I literally went and, like, I'm going to buy the best possible looking costume that I can get because I'm buying it for our geek show. And, oh my gosh, can I travel with this overseas? Like, I really wish I could. Oh my gosh, they're giving us foam swords. Like, this is the best fucking thing ever. Oh my god, they're giving us winter ale. Literally, they're giving us a mead of ale.
Did you keep the swords? They return the swords at the end.
No, they had to return the swords. Aww. My sword's better, though. My sword's bigger and longer, so. And uncut. Oh my god. I'm a real thing. I'm more like radio.com. So that's been a hot minute, and that's half an hour. That's good enough. Let's move on. Speaking of nerding out and Marvel, Avengers Infinity War. I missed all the fucking spoilers, sans things that were pictures.
When you're traveling, you're just too busy to be fucking around on social media.
I mean, I really didn't have any time aside from the pockets of time that we had Wi-Fi, and even then, I'm like...
The movie came out when you were over there, right?
It literally came out the Friday. It was the day after we left.
Right.
Was the day that it came out.
And you didn't see it until you got back.
I saw it that following Monday after our show, after we arrived on the 10th. So I saw it on the 14th.
Sure.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Okay. So, at some point, like, I really was, you know, like, kind of half-heartedly expecting this movie. And, you know, it's got everybody in it. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be
long. It is the biggest Avengers movie.
It is long as shit. It is...
2.5 hours.
Going to have everyone... in little pockets or everything. These are my quick capsule reviews. It is the second best Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It is, you know, I almost feel like in this day and age where you can just find out about anything and everything in real time, is that, like, it's almost kind of unfair. Like, you remember when you were surprised before, like, oh my gosh, are they ever going to make another one of these ever again? But now I know... multiple people are in contracts and this or that. Plus we're old. Old as fuck. I'm raising my hand. Old as fuck. So I know that they're not gonna kill certain people because you know that it's a fucking moneymaker. Black Panther literally made the top grossing movie of this year, this decade.
Yeah,
so someone's coming back. At the same time, there were a couple of things in the movie, like, you know, for all the good intentions of, you know, Thanos, and he's going to kill everybody unless we can kill one person that used to be basically, you know, like a computer program. But we're not going to do that because we've got convictions and we've got standards and all that sort of thing. Like, okay, fine, sure, fine, whatever, I get it. And then there were like other good parts too. Like, man. Chris Hemsworth has got some, like, comic chops, man. Like, so goddamn funny.
Yeah,
like,
he's really, really funny.
I wanted to watch that movie with Guardians of the Galaxy, like, I wanted to watch that as opposed to, like, the gravitas.
You bring up an interesting point, okay, which is the problems that I had with the movie.
Okay.
So, it's basically two movies. It's an hour and a half, or it's 2.5 hours long, and it's, you know, it's... an hour and 15 minutes, the first hour and 15 minutes is really, really tremendously funny.
Right.
I mean, it's super, like, it's Guardians of the Galaxy, it's Doctor Strange, it's Iron Man.
It's Ragnarok.
Yeah. It's all the best stuff that they've done in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And the movie comes, this is the first Avengers movie on the heels of some really good movies. So, the Avengers, the first one, the Joss Whedon Avengers, came on the heels of all the first ones. The Captain America movie, the Iron Man movie, the Thor movie. Yeah. And it made a really good movie out of better than its parts.
Yeah.
The second Avengers movie kind of came on the heels of a bunch of movies that weren't that good, whether it was Iron Man 2 or Thor 2 or, you know, all these other movies that kind of, the parts weren't that great, and then the whole wasn't that great.
Right.
The third movie comes on the heels of Guardians of the Galaxy, on the heels of Doctor Strange, on the heels of Ant-Man, on the heels of lots of other movies that were actually pretty good. Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
And the first hour and 15 minutes of it is fucking great. It's super funny. It's very fast-paced.
Action-packed.
They're weaving in all these characters, and they're doing it successfully.
Yeah.
The second half turns into this, what you describe as this gravitas thing. It's like,
it's a fucking slog, man.
Yeah. It turns into, everything gets too heavy, everything gets too serious.
Well, everything gets too heavy and serious when it can be very easily fixed.
It could have very easily been fixed. That's
yeah.
the thing.
Yeah.
You can have all those things. So yeah. you have some pretty significant deaths that actually happen, you know, yeah. in the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm talking about the actual deaths that happen. So right. and that's the thing about the movie. So everybody knows at this point, and spoilers once more before anyone listens any further, we all know that at the end of the movie, so many characters, you know, Thanos's whole plan is to conquer these planets and essentially just kill half the people on the planet because whatever, that's his thing.
Like, he's the mad titan,
and he seems to think that killing half the people on a planet is somehow protecting resources and making the universe a better place.
Right. Make the universe great again.
Right. Yeah. And it's random, and it always happens. You know, you don't know who's going to die, but yeah. who dies? So, you know, Black Panther dies. And Spider-Man dies in a very, very, pretty upsetting
dude,
way.
Dude, like, know? Everything else, like, I don't give a fuck about, but that, you know what that...
The Spider-Man death is very, very heartfelt. And the reason it's heartfelt, by the way, talking about the yeah. movies that lead up to this movie, is yeah. because of Spider-Man Homecoming.
Shit, I haven't seen it yet.
Well, and it still worked for you, so that's,
oh, it did.
That's a credit to the filmmakers.
Because, you know what it reminded me of? Remember Giovanni Ribisi in Saving Private Ryan? Where he's yes. just fucking like crying yes. out for his mom. He like doesn't know, like, I just want to go home. Right. He starts fucking crying and he just fucking like dies and everyone's just like...
Spider-Man Tom Holland's Spider-Man has a death like that where he's sort of in the arms of Tony Stark and Jesus. Kind of begging yeah. and crying and sad. And it's pretty upsetting.
Yeah.
And again, that's built on the relationships that were set up in Spider-Man Homecoming, another yeah. excellent Marvel movie that... Maybe the best recent Marvel movie that led to this one.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this, unbeknownst to myself, because I have not seen Homecoming, I have it downloaded, it'll probably add to the fucking finally list, that the banter between Doctor Strange and Iron Man and Spider-Man, super funny. Super funny.
Doctor Strange is now the best Marvel character. He is my favorite Marvel character.
Really?
And I do think that they're setting him up to be the new Iron Man, you know, in the future. I think okay. that, you know, I mean, so back to the deaths.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the thing about the end of the movie where essentially half of the Marvel universe dies, half of the universe and including half of the Marvel universe dies, so Black Panther dies, and,
yeah.
you know, several of the characters, whether it's Groot, I can't remember everyone who died, because it was just, people were just dying. The last 15 minutes of the movie.
Winter Soldier's dead.
Winter Soldier, they just sort of like, their bodies literally dissolve and fade off like dust in the wind.
Yeah.
Dust in the wind.
Dust, wind, dude. Yes.
But here's the problem with it.
Okay.
And I'm sure you'll agree. You know.
They're all coming back.
With every fiber of your being.
They're all coming back.
That these people are all coming back.
Right, right.
So it means nothing. Yeah. It's meant to be, it's this big spoiler that everyone talks about the end of the movie. And it's meant to be upsetting, and some of it works and some of it doesn't. Like we said, the Spider-Man moment works. But, like, you know, do any of the other deaths work as well as that one? No. Only the Spider-Man works that well because they've set up this relationship with him and Tony Stark. All these other guys, they die. Number one, it doesn't have the emotional effect that Spider-Man does. Number two, you don't believe it. You know, with every fiber of your being, you know in your bones that these people are coming back.
Well, because
as you just said, Black Panther made a fucking $1 billion.
Right.
These people are contracted. They're coming back.
This is the blessing and the curse of Marvel because, you know, they've come out with Black Panther. They've come out with Avengers. They're going to be coming out with Ant-Man versus the Wasp in July. They're going to be coming out with...
No Ant-Man in this movie, by the way.
No. Well, I think it's prior to everything that happens. But see, that's the problem. I shouldn't know that.
You shouldn't know
that. I shouldn't know any of this whole thing.
Does it fuck with your experience of watching the movie?
In a weird way, it does. It does and doesn't.
It absolutely does. Does it bother you?
No, not necessarily.
It doesn't bother you, but it bothers somebody. I think it does bother you.
It does. I mean, it's just like, you know, the suspension of disbelief and, you know, this is where I think I actually said this during the Geek Show that we had for Moxie both in April and May is that, look, you guys are all complaining about Last Jedi and Rogue One, and I hope you got your solo tickets because some of you will probably complain about that, but you are literally getting what we did not get, what people in our prior generation did not get for years and years and years.
Right.
Now you get three of those like clockwork every single year.
Three, shit. You get more than that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you get way more than
that. I mean, you were even talking about, like, you get, like, 10 dedicated superhero movies.
We need 10 every year.
Yeah.
That's my complaint about the superhero movies. There's too goddamn many of them.
Yeah.
But the thing is, in Avengers Infinity War, and like I said, I thought the first half was fucking tremendous. Right. Like, I was having such a good time.
Right.
And there are some actual deaths that happen in the movie. And with this ending that the movie employs,
right,
you sort of forget about those actual deaths.
Right.
And of course, I'm talking about, like, Loki, number one.
Gamora.
Pretty much everyone's favorite villain in the Marvel, in any Marvel movie that's been made so far. Like, you know, Ultron was cool, Thanos was cool, but Loki is fun to hate.
You don't like Thanos? Do you like Thanos? Is he a good villain? I thought he was a great villain.
Good. I thought he was better than
Ultron.
Ultron, yeah. For sure. Yeah. As much as interesting as I find the Ultron storyline,
yeah.
I thought that Thanos was better. But he's not as good as Loki, and Loki's dead now.
Yeah.
And so is Gamora.
But for now, and
possibly Vision.
For now, because you've got a literal MacGuffin where you can just turn the time.
But stone. I think those deaths are real.
Yeah, they probably are.
I think Loki's gone. I think Gamora's gone.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong. Because, as you say, this is why we know that it's completely false. The ending of the movie is totally false. Because there is this time stone where they can, like, go back in time and save these people.
Right.
So, I mean, the drama of it just doesn't work. The gravitas, as you say, doesn't work. Because we know that this is not going to last. Yes, Black Panther technically dies at the end of this movie.
He'll be back.
But is Black Panther dead?
No.
Are we not going to get any Black Panther movies from now on? Because he died at the end of this movie. So it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
So they're kind of playing a card here that's a little bit too... It's a little bit double-edged, you know? Like, yes, you get your dramatic moment in this movie, but from now on, we all know that it's bullshit.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, too, let's go into the other movie that just came out, Deadpool 2, where it's, you know, again, a superhero movie, and again, there are significant deaths that are involved in that. And, I mean, you know, if you would recommend Infinity War, would you recommend Infinity War? Like, go watch it? Yeah, go watch it once. Sure? Yeah, I'll go watch it once. I may go watch it again in the movie theater, maybe, because I've got MoviePass.
Well, you can't see movies twice now. But you can easily buy a ticket for something else.
Right. Well, actually, you can use your movie card rewards card, and you can double up on those rewards because they're technically being paid for. I actually got told by one of the ushers, like, yeah, those actually work. Those totally work.
Oh, yeah, I just got a free popcorn the other day.
Yeah, I got a free soda.
So yeah.
I'll totally watch that. But that being said, okay, so, you know, you've got... And I think probably the reason why I'm saying that is because I saw Ultron and I saw Infinity War. I never saw the Avengers in the movie theater. Like, everybody else did. For some strange reason, like, I forgot.
Weren't that interested? Or
just no, I just think
didn't
I
get around to it.
I just think I didn't get around to it, no. And so, I'm kind of kicking myself in the
ass. I would recommend Avengers because, I mean, I would recommend it to people that like superhero movies. The first half of the movie is well worth seeing.
Oh, of course.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And the second half has some good moments in it, too, to be perfectly honest. We talked about the aforementioned Spider-Man moment, and there's others.
Yeah.
But it, you know... It doesn't rise to this level of sort of something new.
It's the fucking greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't rise to that. And I don't hear a lot of people claiming that it is that.
Yeah.
But is it something new? Not really. Is it fun? Yes.
Yeah.
Did I enjoy watching it? Sure. I'd recommend someone to see it? Yes. But is it ultimately forgettable? Yeah. I mean, okay. It's ultimately forgettable for me.
Okay, with that being said, all those things apply for me, but... I think I liked it more than Infinity War, Deadpool 2.
You like Deadpool 2 better than Infinity War,
that's
what you're saying?
Yes. I just had more fun with it. I had way, way more fun with it.
Well, it's a comedy from top to bottom.
Right, yes.
So by its very nature, it's more fun. It doesn't get into the super serious gravitas, people are dying.
I mean, they do. I mean, they kind of do.
But even that, they do in a comedic way.
Well, of course, yeah. Like, they're poking fun at themselves. They're poking fun at the whole thing, like, you know, the nature of, like, well, they're literally doing the opening credits, like, produced by, what the fuck did you just do? Like, and like, really? Already you're killing her? Yeah, well, that sort of thing.
I mean, if you're a comic book movie fan, you're going to be seeing both of those movies. But if someone who is not a comic book movie fan said to me, should I see Avengers Infinity War or should I see Deadpool 2?
Deadpool 2.
I would say go see Deadpool 2.
Right.
Because it knows what it is, It is only that. It's not trying to be anything else.
Right.
It doesn't shift gears in the middle of the road the way that Infinity War does, in my opinion.
Right, right.
It's a comedy. It tries to be a comedy. Having said that, I think I liked it a little bit less than you did, only because I would like a sequel, even a Deadpool sequel, even a movie that's a comedy,
right,
to sort of bring something new to the table.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to argue with that at all. It didn't bring anything new. It just brought more of the same.
More of what you like. Right. Yeah, more of what you like, and that's fine, so I enjoyed it, but I think it's probably ultimately even more forgettable than The Avengers.
Right.
So both of these kind of movies, these are both superhero movies, so you go to watch them and have a good time and then forget about it. It's not a movie that you're going to be, you know, talking about years later, or telling your kids they have to see because it's important or something like that.
No.
It's not like that. But I thought it was pretty safe. The script was pretty safe. And here's my other, maybe my biggest complaint with Deadpool 2.
Okay.
There's no villain.
No?
Who's the villain?
Juggernaut? They finally got Juggernaut right.
Yeah, okay. But is he the villain? I mean, not really. Nah. Like, he's not the central villain of the storyline.
No.
The storyline has no central villain, really.
I mean,
Cable, I guess they're, like, sort of pretending that Cable's the villain, but we all know that that's not the case.
Right. Speaking of which, in your wildest dreams, who would have ever thought your action movie star of 2018, Josh motherfucking Brolin.
Josh Brolin's been building a solid career for a long time.
And he still has Sicario 2 to look forward to, too. And I'm looking forward to that.
The title of, by the way, it was called Soldado. Now it's called Sicario 2, Day of the Soldado or something.
Really?
Like
yeah. Día de los Soldados.
I saw the preview on Deadpool 2. Yeah.
Yeah,
and it looks good. But yeah, it's crazy. He's been building a really strong career for a long time. And after No Country for Old Men, it really turned around for him. Like everything just opened up. And he's great. I fucking love him. I love Josh Brolin.
I thought he was better in Deadpool 2 than he was in Infinity War 2, simply because...
Oh, for sure, because he can be himself. Like, yeah. You know, I mean, sure, he's got a bionic arm and a bionic eye, but...
Yeah, and truth be told, I'm very, very stupid. I'm a very, very stupid man on The Real Thing on MoreLikeRadio.com, Chris. So the only context that I really have for either Thanos or Cable is Marvel versus Capcom 2. I mean, really,
yeah.
You think about it, so...
I mean, you don't need much. That's what they're smart about making these movies in that they understand that there's a certain part of their audience that has a fanboy love for these things, and they can embed the Easter eggs and the nods to the comics and things like that.
Yeah.
But they also understand that there's an even bigger portion of their audience,
right,
like you, who doesn't know those things and doesn't need to know those things.
Right.
And so they make it likable for those people, too.
So besides it not having a discernible villain in the movie, what other quibbles do you have that are of note?
I didn't have many. Like I said, I enjoyed watching the movie. I find superhero movies in general to be forgettable.
Yeah.
Fun but forgettable. Like, please don't get me wrong, Patrick. Like,
he's gonna hate it no matter what.
Yeah, he doesn't like Deadpool. Yeah. But so I mean, I found it fun.
Yeah.
But forgettable.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it made a shitload of money, so we're gonna get another one, and I will see another one
because
I found it fun.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds was born to play this part.
That's what I was going to say. More than Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. Like this is
at minimum equal.
What he needs to have been doing for forever and a day.
He's so fantastic at it.
And at the same time too, like the two things that I had a problem with were like the very end where he's dying, like finally dying, and it just went on and on and on. I'm like, all right, I get it. Oh, he's going to talk some more. Okay, well, I'm just not.
Yeah,
I'm like finally checking my watch. And then, as much as she's really hot, Marina Baccarin, his girlfriend.
His wife. Like, she's from Homeland.
Yeah, it's tacked on. Like, really, like, okay, fine, so we're going to do that, and we're going to, you know, try to find you in the fifth dimension, and, you know, like, it's almost kind of like the whole thing involved. Like, it was like The Crow, like, I'm going to find my lost love, but the only way that I can do that is redeeming myself and all that sort of thing.
It's tough to care about the characters in the storyline when the storyline basically says to you, hey, we can do anything we want.
Right.
You know, and it's actually the same problem that I have with the end of Avengers Infinity War, and ultimately it's the problem I have with all superhero movies.
Yeah.
They make up the rules. The rules are not the rules of our universe or our physics.
Right.
So all bets are off. They can do anything they want.
Right.
There's no laws. There's no rules.
My superpower is luck.
Right. Yeah, yeah, and that was a funny character.
Well, actually, that's not true. The one guy that was so goddamn funny in it, and he didn't have to do anything. That's right, Rob Delaney is Peter. He's like, I just saw the ad.
And that's a really funny bit.
He's like, so goddamn funny. You've seen Catastrophe, right? The show Catastrophe on BBC?
No.
Really, really funny with...
is he a British guy?
Sharon Horvath. No. He's an English guy that travels over from Boston, knocks up this British chick, and she ends up getting pregnant, and he's like, all right, let's just do it. Let's raise this kid. So I'll move back to England, and we'll go from there, and it's... a literal catastrophe of relationships and counterculture, you know, between.
Check it out. I love British shows.
And he's always very self-aware. Like Ryan Reynolds is very self-aware. Like I think I like it more now that I think about it, because he just likes to take a shit on all the stuff that everyone was also taking a shit on, like X-Men Wolverine or X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Well, now you're getting into the post-credits.
Yeah.
People are saying are some of the best post-credit scenes of all time.
Oh my god.
I have to agree, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like that's what those scenes should be.
But I also get, I'm saying it right now, it's ultimate fan service. Absolutely ultimate fan service. So
the Deadpool movies, both the first one and this new one, are way kinder to the fans of this kind of these genre movies than the actual Marvel movies, the Avengers movies.
Yeah.
The Deadpool movies are so self-aware.
Yeah.
That it serves as a bigger like fanboy jizz fest than the Avengers movies do.
I love jizz fest. That's good.
Yeah. No, it's true. I go there every October.
Every October.
I travel to Germany.
I have a couple Chardonnays.
It's jizz fest. And, you know, I just let it loose.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
No, but I liked it. You know, I mean, I liked both of these movies. And I have to say, like, if you like these kind of movies, you should totally go see both of these.
Yeah.
There's superhero movies that we watch, and we say, nah, it's not that good. Like, we both saw Justice League.
Yeah.
And if you ask me, and it's not a DC versus Marvel thing, because I would say that Wonder Woman is worth seeing, and, you know, certainly the Chris Nolan Batman movies are DC movies. Those are absolutely worth seeing.
Justice League was worth a watch. Batman versus Superman, no. Suicide Squad, hell fucking no. Like, yeah. I think in the last two years, a year and a half, I've used your example of, was the Joker funny? Was he scary? Then he's not the Joker. I've used that example so many times now. It, you know, credit to Chris Wetton on The Real Thing on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Yeah. But that's one of the like fundamental problems that I had with that performance.
Yeah.
You know, it's superhero movies are their own thing now. Unfortunately, they're their own genre.
Yeah.
And you either like them or you don't.
Right.
And I like them. I like watching them.
No, I know.
I don't go back and revisit them that much, but I do like watching them, and I get excited for them. And these are both worth watching. Ryan Reynolds makes this movie worth watching. The comedic writing in the first half of Avengers makes it worth watching.
Yeah. I honestly wish that Taika Waititi? Waititi?
Yeah, Taika Waititi?
Tiki? Waititi.
Titty?
Tid? I hope he directs more. I hope he directs more, because I know that it wasn't him that directed Infinity War, but in the tone that Ragnarok had, you know, it would serve all of Marvel, especially Thor, but especially, you know, what you're getting at with the first hour of Infinity War quite well.
Yeah.
You know, just to try to have some balance, because it can't all be like, oh my god, everything sucks, and it can't be all like, ha ha ha, you're in on the joke like Deadpool.
Right.
Find that middle, find that center.
Find the middle ground the way that Guardians of the Galaxy did, the way that Spider-Man Homecoming did, the way that Ant-Man did, the way that Thor Ragnarok did, and the way that the first half of Avengers did.
Yeah.
I just wish the second half didn't get so, like, super serious, it's just not working for me. Black Panther didn't have that. That's why I didn't think Black Panther was that great.
Right.
But it was okay.
It was fine. It was
whatever.
Yeah, it was fine. It was all right.
Not interested in watching it again. I have no interest.
Before we wrap up on The Real Thing on MoreLikeRadio.com, Solo, A Star Wars Story comes out this weekend. You're probably going to see that, obviously.
Probably.
As will I. Yes, of course.
It's getting some decent reviews.
Yeah, actually better than what most people thought.
Better than what was expected.
Yeah, with Ron
Howard.
However,
the like overwhelming majority seems to say like it's very safe.
Yeah.
It's very sort of bland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are there any movies that you are looking forward to in the next month or so that you're looking forward to? I've got one that I'm like, you know, speaking of superhero movies, but I'm a little hyped for it, but I want to hear from you first.
I think that the two movies that I'm most excited for right now, and the name of one of them is escaping me, although I know that you'll remember it. It's the horror movie with Gabriel Byrne and Toni Collette.
Hereditary. Yeah.
I saw, like many people, the first preview for it.
Yeah.
And I think I saw it in front of
Deadpool.
Yeah, it was on Deadpool.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, I can see what everybody's talking about.
Yeah, Tina was looking at me like she's like shaking her head no, and I'm like shaking my head.
The exact same thing happened with me and Keisha. I was like, we're going to see that shit.
We're going to have to go watch it together then, or we can all watch it as a group.
Oh, we need to drag them to the movie, please.
Yes, that'll be good.
I think that's what we should do.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that, and I am also very excited after seeing the preview for Under the Silver Lake, which is the follow-up from the guy that made It Follows. His name is escaping me.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, with Andrew Garfield, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. And it showed at Cannes, and it had a huge, you know, reaction from a lot of people that saw it at Cannes.
Okay.
Comparing it to some of the craziest David Lynch stuff that's ever been made. In the package of a sort of detective kind of story, you know?
Okay.
I'm super excited about that.
A nice dumb action movie that I'm looking forward to in lieu of all the superhero retreads and Marvel and DC and everything else. That movie, Upgrade?
Upgrade.
Yeah, you should watch the trailer for it. It's this guy that was a soldier, and he gets paralyzed because of friendly fire or some bullshit, and so he's, you know, paralyzed, he gets hit in the spine, so someone gives him a chip implanted into his spine, and it basically turns him into, like, this fucking superhero where he's got, like, an AI program, like, talking with him in real time.
Who's
like,
in it?
I have no idea what the fuck is going on, but it's from the producers of, what the hell are the names from, Saw, and The Conjuring.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like,
I think it's directed by one of those guys, too. I think it's directed by, like, James Wan or one of those type guys.
Yeah. So, and it's super, super violent, and they're like, you know, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'll see that shit.
That might be, you know, like, clean my palate, because when I watched Death Wish with Bruce Willis, I was expecting a whole lot more from Eli Roth, and didn't really pan out, but...
Also, gotta say, new season of Arrested Development debuts in just a couple days.
I heard that's really good.
Well, I'm fucking excited about it.
Yeah.
Fourth season sucked ass, but willing to give it another try.
Yeah. So, again, follow us on Facebook. This is The Real Thing. Follow us on Twitter. We are The Real Thing, TheRealThingMLR, or actually not MLR, underscore, excuse me. We will leave you with, which will surely be, an Academy Award winning nominated song from the movie Deadpool 2. We will leave you with Celine Dion's Ashes, which would probably have worked a lot better if it were placed behind Avengers Infinity War, if you think about it.
Very true. Yeah. There's tons of those memes going around.
Yeah. So, but in the meantime, Chris Whetton, always a pleasure.
Likewise.
This is the shortest show that we've done in a very, very long time.
We should try and slam it out like this more often.
We should. And I only...
We need to get some crystal meth and do our shows on that now.
Crystal Meth and High Life, official sponsors of The Real Thing. My name is Mark Nixon. Have a good week.
What's left to say? These prayers aren't working anymore. Every word shut down in flames. What's left to do with these broken pieces on the floor? I'm losing my voice, calling on you. 'Cause I've been shaking, I've been bending backwards till I'm broke. Watching all these dreams go up in smoke. Let beauty come out of ashes. Let beauty come out. You use these tears to put out the fires in my soul. 'Cause I need you here. Whoa. I've been shaking, I've been bending backwards till I'm broke. Watching all these dreams go up in smoke. Let beauty come out of ashes. Let beauty come out. Can beauty come out?